For the rest of our service, we're going to turn it over to Reverend Joshua Chen. He'll introduce himself a little bit and give his testimony as well. And so I pray that you just continue to, again, just silently be in prayer for him as he shares and opens up God's word to us this morning. So Reverend Chen and Judy, here. Okay. Yeah, we can put him right here in the middle.
At first, I have to express my deep gratitude to our God, to the church, including Pastor, and all the brothers and sisters. Thank you all for giving the opportunity to share the message with you. This morning, I want to share my personal story with you, that is finding a door to hope. I once read a newspaper article about a college student who tried to commit suicide due to lost love. One day on the bus, she saw a signboard that read, "It is not that you have reached the end of the road, but you need to turn around." I think this saying applies to everybody. When we encounter sufferings or challenges and fear it is impossible to go on, those words encourage us. Yes, it is not that you reach the end of the road, but that you needed to turn around. I have experienced much bitterness and depression in my life. But at every crossroad of despair, I could clearly feel that God was waiting there to guide me with His wonderful ways. The first crossroad of my life happened at the age of 7. When my father's eyes were injured by work accident, even after emergency surgery, he still became blind. The following year, I also started noticing that my vision was blurred, but I couldn't bear to strike another blow to my family, so I kept the condition from my family. When that semester's final exam came around and I was given the exam paper, I couldn't see any of the words clearly. I finally realized that I was going blind too. I cried and told my teacher. She took me home after school and advised my family to take me to see a doctor immediately. I finally went blind, not able to accept that her husband and elder son both became blind. My mom ran away from home on a stormy night. Whenever the night was deep and quiet, my dad will wake me up and ask me to go to the backyard because he want to say something to me. After we fumble our way to the backyard, he would hold me close and say, "Both you and I can see anything. I don't know what it means to live in the world. I can only bring more burden and suffering to the family. Should we commit suicide together?" I would hold him and answer him with tears. "No, I don't want to die. I'm afraid of death." One afternoon, a teacher came to visit my family. Seeing our situation, he was very sympathetic and arranged for my father to learn how to be a massage therapist in Taipei. And he taught me how to read Braille by touch so that I could go back to school to continue my studies. The second crossroad in my life came when I received Jesus. After I graduated from elementary school, my dad arranged for me to go to special education school for the blind. He patiently reminded me, now that you are blind, you should resign yourself to fate. No matter if you are educated with a master's or doctoral degree, you will still have to be a massage therapist in the end. What you need is just to learn how to massage well. But in my heart, I always doubt why it is that the blind can only be massage therapist. Would there be no other way of living for the blind? Therefore, I didn't learn to massage well in that school, but favor music and dedicate myself to practicing the piano and trombone. I even start to dream a musical career. In the second year of senior high, a Christian piano teacher came to my school to teach me piano for free. When she saw me always frowning, she told me, "From the day I knew you, I've always felt that God loves you very much." But I answered angrily, "I don't believe there is a God in the world. Even if there was a God, he just loves everybody except me. If he loved me, why would he make both my dad and me blind and make me live in a broken family?" She listened quietly to my complaints and then answered with tears, "I don't know why God gave you so much suffering, but I believe he must have a wonderful plan for you." Once she prayed with me before class and told me, "There is an evangelistic service. I hope you can go with me." I want to say no, but those thoughts come to my mind. She teach me piano without any pay. If I consistently say no, she might become irritated and stop teaching me. So I made up my mind and told her, "I can go with you." After arriving at that church, I only remember it was very hot that day, and all the songs were very melodious. So I soon fall asleep and didn't hear what the pastor preached. As the service was ending, the pastor invited the congregation to stand and sing the last song. My teacher quickly wake me up. I stood up and listening quietly to the singing. They sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." When I heard the lyrics was blind, but now I see. I was very excited. So I asked, is it real that believing in Jesus can make my eyes see? She hesitated a bit and said, if God's will is to kill you, He certainly can make that happen. Therefore, you needed to look for God's will through studying the Bible and praying. In order to see, I promise, I was willing to do that. I urgently pray this way every day. Then 2 months went by. I still couldn't see. My heart sank. It was a Saturday afternoon. I was at the school by myself practicing piano. After a while, I got tired and want to go home. But then I remember my eyes. Once again, I knelt before God and prayed for healing. I'm not sure how much time had passed. I only know I felt worn out. I sat quietly on the floor, waiting for God's response. Suddenly a thought came to my mind. If God wants to use you just this way, are you willing to submit? I was shocked. This was something I really had to wrestle with. In the end, I told God, if you take complete responsibility of my whole life, then I am willing. From that moment on, I gave my whole life to God. I also accept Jesus as my personal Savior. The third crossroad in my life is when I found my life partner. When I graduated from the college, I joined a Joy of Eden quartet. That's where I met my wife, who was the pianist for the group. When we first started to date, I remember her. I remind her, you should find out how your parents feel about all this before we decide to continue seeing each other. The next day, she came to me in tears and said both her mom and dad disapprove of our relationship. I comfort her. This is very normal and expected. The only thing we can do now is go before the Lord and prayerfully wait, asking God to open a way for us. Praise the Lord, after 7 years of patiently waiting, in December of 1994, my father-in-law walked hand in hand with my bride into the church and gave her to me to be my wife. The fourth crossroad in my life is when I came to the U.S. for higher education. After we got married, the high hope, we came to the new world. I spent 6 years working on the 2 master's degrees, one from the University of Houston, one from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In July of 2002, when I knew I had passed the seminary graduation exam and was waiting for God's leading on where He wants me to serve, my wife started to feel very uncomfortable. In response, to my persistently urgent. She went to see the doctor at a clinic. After some simple test, the doctor told her she couldn't drive anymore and that he needed to call an ambulance to take her to the hospital because her life was in danger. When she cried, telling me what doctor said, I immediately sent her to the hospital. As soon as we arrived at the emergency room, the nurse immediately cleared a bed for her. For the first 2 days, I couldn't stop praying and asking God, why does all this have to happen just when I am about to step into the mission field to serve you? What exactly is your will for my life? At that time, this scripture passage kept coming to my mind. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them, whether you turn to the right or to the left. Your ear will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. After a series of tests, the doctor told my wife that she only had 10% function remaining in her two kidneys, and that she needed dialysis weekly from that point on. Without insurance in the U.S., my wife couldn't receive dialysis, so we decided to go back to Taiwan. But since all of her family was in Houston by that time, I thought we should go back to Houston for a few days before going back to Taiwan. While we were there, the Houston church unexpectedly invited us to stay there to serve God together. By faith, we accept the invitation. But my wife still could not receive dialysis on a regular basis. In November of 2015, my life road seems to meet an end because the one who had been my life partner serving alongside me and walking with me for 28 years on the fifth day of that month, she raised from the labels of this world to return heavenly home. This sudden blow was overwhelming to me. During those days, the nights felt longer, the hours passed slower, and the house grew quieter. In my praying for my life, my dream was shattered. My plans was changed. In those days, I was angry and confused. I asked God, do you really still love me? God answered and comforted me through the Bible again. I know the plan for my life are in His hands. I believe that although I have lost my wife, He is still leading me at each step. When she left so suddenly, I realized that life can end at any moment. When my wife was still alive, we had made a plan to retire early, to step away from church ministry, and to dedicate ourselves to preaching the gospel. But during the 7 years before that time, we have already been going back to Taiwan every year to preach the gospel in prisons, drug rehab centers, schools, and churches in remote towns. We even went to mainland China for gospel preaching and Bible training. Now that my wife has gone back to her heavenly home, why shouldn't I go out to preach the gospel while I am still young? That's why in October of last year, I decided to leave the church where I have served for 16 years to follow a new vision for my ministry beyond church walls, worshiping, preaching, and training. I want to live a brand new life of faith, fixing my eyes on God and relying solely on Him. May God continue to use my broken life in those letters so I can win more souls for Jesus. The population of the world is over 7 billion. That we can be chosen by God to be His children is not by chance, but was ordained by God before creation. I thank God for choosing me. So, with a grateful heart, I want to sing, Lord, why have you chosen me?
So great to love me, so you dream waiting and give one need.
His love is so wonderful, His mercy is so bountiful. I can't understand it, I confess. But Lord, help me be what You want me to be. Your word I will try to obey. My life I now give, for You I will live. For You live by Your side all the Let's pray together. Dear brother and sister, after listening my story, I don't know, what do you think? Even if I can see, God still used me to preach gospel for Him. I think everybody here has much better condition than me. If God can use me, He certainly uses you to be His witness and to preach gospel in your relatives, in your communities, in your office. I ask God to bless us to be His sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Give me this opportunity to share my personal testimony with all the brothers and sisters. I hope You can tell us something. I hope everybody here can to be Your witness. They can to be Your sermon. They can preach. They can walk outside the church to say the gospel, the good news to their relatives in their community, to the office. I hope You can use us in the latter. We can preach Your gospel. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.